We're going to do Mark. If you would open your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, go to chapter 2. Chapter dos for our Puerto Rican speaking friends. Thank you, Neely. And then verses 1 through 12. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. I'm going to get there myself. We're going to read it together. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you need a Bible, there should be one in the chair or their little basket ahead of you. Or behind you, under the chair. And I'm going to talk about Jesus healing the paralytic man. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. We're going to read it together. And then, that's good. You know, can I just make a mention something to you? I would encourage you, if you don't do this, listen, some people are kind of particular, I don't want to write in my Bible. Like, I would encourage you to, as long as it's not you, the Lord's not convicting you, bring a highlighter, bring a pen, write scripture verses down, underline, highlight, because, man, we think we're never going to forget stuff, and you know what? You want to know a little fun thing to do? Even people who are very much impacted, or maybe you're impacted by the sermon, go home and ask if you have a friend that's in church today that's listened here, and just ask, hey, what was your favorite part about the sermon today? What did you learn today? You'd be surprised. Oh, it was awesome. What did we talk about? We have an incredible forgettery. So I just want to encourage you, underline, highlight, pay attention, because sometimes the Lord will remind you of stuff later. I was just reading something that I probably wrote 20 years ago in my Bible. And I was like, oh, wow, I didn't mention that in the sermon. That was really good. But write it down, highlight, and be encouraged. Okay, so let's start in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. We'll read it through, and then we'll go verse by verse. It starts off, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus and digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. Verse 5 continues. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He blasphemes. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus knew in his spirit what they were, knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take up your mat, and walk?'" Verse 10 continues, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, 'I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home.' He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, 'We have never seen anything like this.'" So this is where we're going to start off in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. When it says, a few days later, Jesus again entered into Capernaum, and the people heard that he had come home. Or as if you have the King James Version, anybody who has a King James Version, it says it was noise that Jesus was in the house. Whoop, whoop, whoop. And it says they gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. And so if you don't know what was going on right before this, Jesus had just cast out a demon in the synagogue of Capernaum. He was healing the whole town, the lame, the sick. They were all the possessed. They were all bringing them to Jesus. He was healing them. He left for a little bit. He healed an unhealable leper, and he became so popular that he left his base of operations into Capernaum, and now he's finally returning home, and everybody is here to see him. Now, once people heard Jesus was back, they flooded the area, right? And they flooded Peter's home, which was where Jesus was staying. And it says that he preached the word to them. Now, I just love the Bible because we've been to Israel many times, my wife and I. And if you don't know, you know, over the last 100 years, they've been digging up Capernaum in Israel. I think almost positive Pastor Gary's been there as well. But this is just a little sum of the dig. It's Capernaum is located on the Sea of Galilee. And this is just, some people like when I do this, some people don't. But to me, this just shows archaeologically, historically, that the Bible's true. What they're these places existed. These people existed. It's all true. The Bible's true. And so this is Peter's home right here. We've been to it multiple times. It's kind of, they've made it into a church. They made it into a church in like AD 300. But anyway, and so archaeologically, it was larger than most houses in Capernaum, but the house was simple. It had coarse walls. The roof was made of earth and straw and probably tiles. And like most Roman period houses, it consisted of a few rooms clustered around an open courtyard, or two open courtyards in Peter's house. And despite later proving to be one of the most exciting biblical archaeological discoveries, the house appeared quite ordinary. There's nothing fancy about it other than it was made into a church. Now, also, we must remember Jesus, it says, we must remember that the goal of the Word of God is not academics, but instead, the goal is to know the God of the Word. And so when we're teaching God's Word and we're super, you guys know, we're always encouraging you. Look, if you don't have a Bible, we'll buy one for you as a gift in Jesus' name. If you don't have a devotional, we'll buy one for you as a gift in Jesus' name. We'll give you apps. We'll give you whatever you want, whatever you need to help you to learn and grow in the Word. We can't do it for you, but we'll provide whatever you want. A verse-by-verse commentary through the Bible, anything that will help you to grow, we want to do that because we know that will change your life as you take it in, as you hide it in your heart. But the main goal isn't for us to become more historically knowledgeable or more intellectually knowledgeable or more academically knowledgeable, right? The goal for us teaching the Word of God is that you would know the Lord, that you would love Him, that you would serve Him. If you're just coming here getting more information, we're thankful that you're here, but you are missing out on the God of the Word, right? I'm not here to give you more information. I'm here to introduce you to my Lord and Savior. And that's why I'm encouraging you to pay attention. The enemy wants to distract you all the time, maybe even right now. But I want you to pay attention and listen to whatever God has to say to you today. He's got you here for a reason, no doubt. It's interesting to me that when Jesus goes back to Capernaum, this town, right, and all these people are gathering, he could have focused on many things. He did it before. Physical healings. That's pretty cool, right? I mean, to go and touch somebody and say, you're healed in Jesus' name, and watch them be physically healed. Pretty amazing. Or even practically. I mean, he could have done physical provision. Later on, Jesus is going to be providing supernaturally loaves and fishes to all the hungry people. Oh, by the way, Don's birthday. Don has finally made it. We all applauded you later. Earlier, you weren't here, so we're doing it now. Happy 78th birthday. Or no, not quite that much. Okay, I was kidding. But it's interesting to me. Jesus could have done a lot of things, right? He could have. He made people feel welcome. He made people feel loved. You remember last week, the kids just ran up to Jesus. He loved on them. He said, don't hinder them. He could have done so much, but instead, he's doing what's most important, and that's the teaching of God's word, right? And here's the reason why. We can't do the will of God unless you know the word of God. This is the Bible. This is his basic instructions before leaving Earth. Get it? B-I-B-L-E. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. This is the letter to you. And why is the Bible so important that we're hearing it? And why is it so important to Jesus? Because he knows that that's what transforms lives. He knows what Romans 10:17 says. That your faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. So when I'm preaching this, or when you're reading it, or when we're talking about the Word of God, right? And you're saying, oh, that's good. Oh, that's convicting. Oh, that's encouraging. When you're hiding that in your heart, right? You're listening. You know, you're not on your phone. You're not, thinking about Cracker Barrel or whatever. You're focusing on, listen, when you hear that, right, your faith is growing. Those seeds are being planted deep in your heart, right? On good soil. He's trying to plant those. Satan's trying to steal that, right? So you don't listen. And God's saying, I'm trying to plant those seeds if you listen. I love this verse. This is in Proverbs 8:34. This is in the King James Version, and I just love it in the King James Version. This is what the Lord says to you and me. Look, he's knocking at the door of your heart. Can I just encourage you? Look, the fact that you're here says something about you. God got you here. Now, I don't know if you were dragged here kicking and screaming, or if you got here early voluntarily, or if some other people are going to show up in about an hour going, hey, what time is it? Why is the church started? But the bottom line is you're here, thank God, right? And he says, blessed is the man or woman that hears me, that watches daily at my gates, waiting at the doorposts of at the posts of my doors. In other words, Lord, I want to hear what you want to say. Listen, you don't want to hear what Darren has to say. Who cares? Pastor D, who cares? Pastor Gary, who cares? What you want to hear is what the Lord has to say to you personally. Isn't that true? That's what I pray for every single time. Whether we pray for it as a group, I'm over here praying that. Lord, please speak to your people. I'm praying for you guys. Open their hearts. Open their minds. I'm praying for me. Anoint me. Give me an unction of your Holy Spirit. Help me to only say what you want me to say. Nothing that I shouldn't. And on and on and on and on. But we need to listen and want to listen. Be at that door. He's knocking. He's saying, daughter, I've got stuff to tell you. Brother, I've got stuff to tell you. And it's so easy to be distracted, I'm telling you. And I'm not preaching at you like some self-righteous pastor saying, oh, you sinners, it's so easy to be distracted. I'm saying it's easy for me, it's distracted for me. Now, I'm going to give you a scripture picture. I don't have the scripture for this yet, but I saw it, and I think the Lord, I'm just going to say this was at least for me. I'm not saying it's for you. I don't have a scripture for it yet, but I'm going to have one. Okay, so this is a preview. I'm just telling you, right? Because, God wants us to be on fire for him, right? Not distracted. I'm just going to do this and show you the scripture picture. Now listen, I don't know if you can see the two things here that they're focusing on. The one is the word. The other is the cell phone. Right. This isn't an anti-phone message, okay? I love my phone. I send scripture pictures out of my phone. I communicate, help people, pray for people. I play a game on my phone. Probably too much if you ask my wife. But I can also say that God wants us to be on fire for him, right? So listen, are you feeling a little burnt out? Do you feel like the light in you has dimmed a bit? Do you? Here's what I found 95% of the time. It's not that you don't love the Lord. But chances are, if that's you, if you're smoldering, you might have been walking with the Lord 10, 20, 30 years or 10, 20, 30 minutes, if you're not putting the word of God into you daily on your own, listening to a sermon, a devotional, reading something for yourself, you start to smolder a little bit. That flame tends to go out. If you're distracted, hey, guess what? I'm guessing, and some people have apps and Bible apps on your phone. Again, it's not about, but just for me personally, so not you, just me, I can spend more time on my stupid phone playing my stupid games than I do reading my devotionals in the morning, than I do with the Word of God. That's no bueno, is it? That's no good. Jason, I'm so shocked, but you have something to say. So please, I'm going to grab drink my buy drink.
All right, so I know that you haven't done it yet.
No, sir.
However, I felt led to send you a song, and it kind of goes along with your picture, which I think you already knew would happen.
Uh-huh, I did. But I haven't listened to it yet, though.
No, he hasn't. So looking at this picture, I do see it. It says, the lyrics of the song are, started the race with that look in my eyes, like nothing could break me with God on my side. But life has a way to keep wearing me down, and before you know it, that fire burns out. I could give up, give in, and say that it's over, but I feel your hand on my shoulder, and suddenly I'm not afraid. Suddenly I'm not afraid. I'm going to hope when all that I'm feeling is hopeless. Something inside me knows that the best days are yet to come. So to go along with that, that hopelessness should lead us to his word. It should lead us to get deeper into it, to reignite that fire, even when we're feeling hopeless, when we're distracted as the other a person is, and know that no matter what, there's still the best days yet to come.
Amen. And so God will renew. We got something back there, Jason, if you'd bring that microphone back there.
I can bring it for you.
Thank you. We got it. We got it. Thanks, brother. And you guys are allowed to talk and ask questions and make comments. It's okay. The Holy Spirit speaks through every one of us. Good. Thank you for that, Jason.
Yeah, one of the first things God came to Adam and he said, who told you you were naked? And they called the tree, you know, of good knowledge of good and evil. And these phones bring bad news to us from places we should never even be thinking about every second of the day.
Yes.
And God didn't intend us to have this, you know, constant barrage of information that's negative. Yeah. I mean, in the garden when he made it, they were made, you know, to love him. They had no afraid. They weren't ashamed. And unfortunately, in this technological, you know, world, we have these negative thoughts coming to us.
Continue.
If we don't turn our phone off during church, we'd miss half the sermon because there's garbage
exactly right.
Coming in constantly.
That's honestly, yeah, you got to get your app, your reward, your this, your that, everything to distract you. Isn't it true?
We were not created for this type of, you know, environment.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I check news sites on my phone probably 25 times a day just so I'm updated on the very, very latest. Now, I want to encourage you, listen, God wants us to be like a city on a hill. He wants us to be on fire. And some of you are like, man, it's getting darker out there, isn't it? Let's just be honest. We got a lot to be thankful for. We get a little bit of reprieve for a few years. Thank you, God. But in general, you can tell the world's going a certain direction, right? And so we're supposed to, instead of getting discouraged, the world's so dark, you know what? The more you're lit on fire by hiding God's word in your heart, taking it into you, right, and letting that fire burn, right, the more you're lit on fire, look, the darker it becomes, the brighter that light becomes. Isn't that true? Right? And so, yes, we have a question back there. But as we're, yeah, go ahead.
Just, you know, I don't know if it's me or not, but if you notice the way that both of them are looking at the devices before them, you know, one seems completely burned out by just how wicked the world is, but the other one just seems calm and glued to what God has, even to the point where he's like, thy will be done, you know?
Yes, and I think that's where, where's your focus? Listen, this isn't an attack sermon, okay? So you can be like, Pastor D is just hammering me. No, this is a reminder sermon. This is to stir you up to love and good deeds, to remind you of what's good and true. The whole world's going one direction, and God is saying, I want to light you on fire so you can be a light to your friends, so you can be a light at the school where you work, to your family. Right? But it only comes when you put in the effort. Listen, male, female, can I tell you what we don't want to do? More work. But this is the work that will change you, that is necessary for you, if you will do it. Yes.
All right. Number one, number one, by proxy on behalf of Sue. She just handed me this to remind you of your 2 Timothy 1:6-7, where Paul urges Timothy, this is why I remind you to fan the flames, the spiritual gift God gave you, for God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline.
Good, good. And you had one over here, did you have?
Thank you. I don't know about anybody else, but I find it being a constant battle all day long, depending on the situation.
Yes, yes.
Back and forth all day.
It is. But here, that is so true. Thanks, and that's real. Thank you. And it's true for me, too, not just for you. So it's probably true for many of us. But I can tell you, one of my sons was like saying, he was looking at news sites, and he's like, and I'm like, well, so, you know, I'm like, son, is it a conservative news site or is it a liberal news site? Make sure you listen to the good. And he's like, well, he's like, Dad, I can tell immediately after 10 seconds what it is because of the Word of God. So if you're putting the Word of God, that's a filter for you of anything. You don't even realize it. But if you're, the more you're getting the Word, the truth put in you, it's a filter that filters out the bad stuff. How many of you drink coffee? Raise your hands. Okay? Okay. Ugh. Anyway. Okay, so I drink fine drinks. But anyway, but if you've ever had coffee without the filter, you know, when you forget to put the filter in there? That's what I'm telling you you're doing if you're not renewing your mind with the Word of God daily. You're just chowing on some grounds, and then you get so used to it, you're like, oh, the coffee's good. You don't even know. Listen, and listen, well, I just, Pastor, when you speak, it's just convicting. I just want to hear nice things. Listen, we're supposed to be confronted. This is John Stott. He was an awesome man of God. But it says, a theologian, it says, we must allow the Word of God to confront us. But I just want to be seeker sensitive. Tell me what my itching ears want to hear. No! We must allow the Word of God to confront us, to disturb our security, to undermine our complacency, to overthrow our patterns of thought and behavior. You all have a pattern of thought. Some of it's good and godly, some of it's not. And this word is going to change those patterns of thought in your mind as you renew your mind daily. It goes on to say, earlier in Galilee, when Jesus was, it says, preaching the word it used earlier in the book of Mark was a different word. It was caruso. And that means to like, to proclaim it, you know, like a herald, like, you know, repent and this. But the word he uses here, this was like what Jesus was normally talking about when he talked about preaching. In Mark 1:14-15, it says, Jesus went into Galilee, preaching the good news, uses the word caruso, proclaiming it like a herald. And he said, the kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe the good news. So that's what he's done. He's trying to give us freedom. But here, he's doing it differently. He uses a different word for preached here. When it says he preached the word at the bottom, right? The word here is laleo, and it means to talk, to teach, just like we're doing now. Jason said he sent me a song about being on fire for the Lord. I never got it. And he told me about it. He's like, hey, did you hear that song about being on fire? No, I didn't. I said, but guess what? There's a scripture picture. I'm going to guess that the Lord has something to speak through you to all of us, which you heard. And so it means to talk and to teach like what we're doing now, right? I like what Charles Fuller had to say, another man of God. And he says, to know the Word of God, to live the Word of God, to preach the Word of God, to teach the Word of God is the sum of all wisdom. and it's the heart of all Christian service. That's why the enemy and your flesh tries so hard to keep you out of the Word. If you don't know what to do, pick a book of the New Testament. Don't read it like a dictionary from cover to cover. Pick a book in the New Testament and just read a chapter a day. A chapter a day will keep the devil at bay. Two or more kicks him out of the door. All right? And look at, his word is eternal. Everything else is going to burn, baby. Where do you get that, Pastor? Well, from Scripture. Mark 13:31 says, heaven and earth are going to pass away. It's all going to burn, but my words will never pass away. So you can learn any subject you want, any skill you want, anything you want, and it's all going to go bye-bye except for this investment that you're making is eternal. Make the investment. I can't force you. I can just encourage you. We live in a time of AI, and what's the sum of truth, right? It's kind of like, but what's your source of truth? Do you go to news sites for truth? Do you go to Google for truth? You know, what equals truth for you? Or I say, who do you trust the most? It's supposed to be, who do you? Duh. But anyway, who do you trust the most, right? I mean, I use Google. I'm thankful for it. But I, you know, I use AI. But can I tell you something? We were doing a new sheet. We're making up for anybody who wants to get married here at the church. It's basically says, hey, you know, we're both professing Christians. We're going to, remain pure until we get married. Or if we are doing something, we're going to stop because we want to honor the Lord. We don't want to go the world's way. And there's a bunch of stuff like that that we're going to have folks, we're going to do marriage counseling and go through a book together. Anyway, all this stuff. And we had an AI help with the document and put in a scripture. I thought, oh, that's great. It's a scripture I wanted. We said what it was. And then after it was printed up, I said, wait a minute. It was half of the scripture. It was very interesting. It was the pleasant part. It said it was the whole part. And it said, the scripture, it was in Hebrews, but it said something like, the marriage bed should be honored by all, which is very encouraging, wonderful. It should be, right? The marriage bed. But it says, God will judge the immoral, the sexually immoral, and the adulterer. They left that part off. I didn't tell it to do that. I thought that was very interesting. Maybe just a mistake, but listen. What equals truth to you? Where do you get your truth from? And we need to get our truth, the eternal word of God. That's it. That's what it equals. It says the sum of your word is truth. Everything in here is true, right? It's all straight from the Lord. You'll never go wrong if you trust in the Lord and you trust in his word. Every time, the world's going to tell you, you're a fool. It will. Why are you standing on the word of God? What's the big deal? Everybody's going the other direction. Who cares? This is boring stuff. And God says, no, the sum of your word is truth. That's what it equals. And every one of your righteous rules endures how long? Forever. That's right. And not only that, but the Bible says something really neat in Psalm 119. It's that this world, it's such a maze. It's so crazy. I don't know if it's getting more complex or I'm just getting older. And it, you know, but the bottom line, it's darker. It's more complex. It's grayer. I don't know how to even say it. But Psalm 119, 105, and again, the King James Version, really liked it in this one. It talks about the maze of life. And the neat thing about God is that he provides direction. And the direction is through his word. He says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. See, in this maze of the world, God's word is going to tell you to go. But led by his Holy Spirit, left, right, yes, you should do this, no, you shouldn't, reject this, accept this, and it'll lead us home. Does that make sense? But you're never going to get that unless you're taking it in and hiding it in your heart. And have you ever seen a baby bird being fed by a baby bird? I'll just say that. Do you know how it gets fed? You know what happens? The mother chews up gets the food, chews the food for the baby bird, right? Does all the work basically for the baby and spits it in his mouth. Patooey. I don't know if it makes that noise, but that's what I see. Listen. Here, I'm so glad and thankful to be doing this. But you don't want Pastor D just to chew on all this word continually. Patooey. No, Pastor D wants you to grow. And he wants that just like that baby bird, right? Okay, let's say that baby bird is... I don't want to say the wrong thing. Maggie, how old are you?
39.
Okay. Let's say you're as old as 30. No. Let's say you're in your 30s. Okay? Listen, wouldn't it be bad if Jason was still had some baby food? Okay, it's time for lunch, little Maggie. And feeding her baby food for her? I put it in the blender. Have some pears. Yum, 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 yummy. It would look silly, right? No, she's 39 years. Feed yourself. But who makes that choice? We do. So listen, not condemning anyone here. I'm encouraging. Be a self-feeder. Thumbs up on that. Not thumbs down. Capiche? Hebrews 4:12 says this. I love it. It cuts through the lies in our heart. God's word does that. Even the lies we tell ourselves. You know who's the biggest liar in my life other than the enemy? Me! I lie to myself. Oh, it's not that bad. Listen, the Bible says the word of God is living or alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Right? Sorry. I felt like the Lord just showed me something, and then I was just trying to say, is that just for me? Is that something for I should say now or talk about now? And I don't think it is. Okay. So we're moving quite along, all the way to verse 3. Mark 2, verse 3 says, some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Right? And it says this. And I love this. This guy has got some, this paralyzed man has some good friends. He really does. And they're good, faith-filled friends. You know, these are just questions I ask myself. How long have they carried this guy? Where did they come from? Jerusalem, Judea, over mountains, dry deserts? Who knows? How far have they come? It doesn't say, but obviously a long way to get to Jesus, right? These four friends. Now, I don't know. The Bible doesn't even say what their names are. So here's the thing. If I would nickname them, here's what their nicknames would be. For me, for these four friends, compassion, because they had to love this guy to go through what carry this guy all this way, probably from another town, right, to Jesus, right? Cooperation. They're working together. You need good friends in the Lord to work with, to encourage you, to strengthen you. Listen, if you're a Lone Ranger Christian, let me tell you, you can do it for a bit, but God is calling you to work with one another. We need one another. Lynn, sometimes you need someone to encourage you in the right direction. Lynn, sometimes I need you to encourage me in the right direction. Does that make sense? Yeah. Sebastian, sometimes you need to be corrected in the Lord. Sometimes you might need to correct me in the Lord. And that's okay. We need good friends, and we need to bring others to Christ. These were some good friends. Maybe you're sitting here today because somebody brought you here to this church. They didn't bring you to hear from me, I hope, or even to home fellowship. They brought you to hear from the Lord through his precious word, which is what you should be so thankful for that friend. Or maybe you're listening online. I love the scripture picture because it shows that somebody is a picture of a woman just grabbing somebody's hand. And it says, stand steady and don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Bring others to Christ. Leave nothing undone that you ought to do. The Bible says, don't leave anything undone. Who should you be bringing? Who should you be grabbing by the hand and helping? Right? Those are good friends. Listen, I love, I think it was D.L. Moody who said this, but He says, out of 100 men, one of them will read the Bible. But 99 of them will read the Christian. Your words, your actions, what you do, what you don't do, speaks volumes to people. Does that make sense? It goes on to say, Mark 2:4, that these, since they couldn't get him to Jesus because of the crowd all around Peter's house, right? Imagine if people were here and they were just like trying to listen at the door and it was blocked and the windows were blocked. But they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. Now, many homes at this time, if you could afford it, would have the roofs with slabs of burnt clay tiles that they used as like a balcony. It was kind of a relaxation during the day. And then if it was too hot at night, you can go up and get, they didn't have air conditioning. You enjoy the breeze, the cool breeze at night up on the roof. And they usually had an external stairway that led to that roof. And Luke's gospel alludes that this was a tile type of roof. In Luke 5:19, it says, so they went up on the roof and took off some of the tiles. Then they lowered the sick man on the mat down in the crowd right in front of Jesus. It says when Jesus saw their faith in verse 5, it says he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, if I were these people, I'd be like, took them all this way, Lord. I'd be like, no, we didn't bring here for forgiveness of sins. We brought him here to heal. He's paralyzed. Ah, Jesus, you got this whole thing wrong. Doi. Okay? But I really like this. And when it says they saw their faith, I think Jesus' focus was exactly where it needed to be. Please notice what Jesus did not see and focus in the situation. We read this and we can kind of gloss over it, but he did not see the mess that was made. Think about it for a second. Let's just say this place was that packed right now, right? And people were, oh, the windows were open, they're listening in, you couldn't even, and all of a sudden, you start hearing some noise, some drywall, starts going, the drywall dust is, I was going to say asbestos, not asbestos, the fluffy stuff, insulation, thank you. All the particles are flying. You're like, oh, my goodness, this is a terrible mess, right? Jesus would be like, what are you doing? Was Jesus focused on the mess? He was focused on the person, right? Notice what Jesus did not focus on, right? He did not focus on the damage. Now, Peter's probably thinking, my house! That's, oh, no, that's like $5,000 right there. He didn't focus on the damage that was being done, although there was a lot of damage being done. I don't know. Maybe Peter didn't say that. But he didn't focus on the finances for the repair. He didn't focus on the embarrassment. Oh, my gosh, people are all over the place. And now stuff's falling everywhere. It's cloudy in here because of the drywall dust. There's dirt. Well, it wasn't drywall dust back then. There's dirt and you know, everything's everywhere. People, he's not embarrassed. He didn't focus on the repairs that needed to be made. We need to sweep this up so I can keep teaching. Listen, Jesus instead of what he wasn't focusing on, he looked up and he saw these guys, these four guys, and their faith that they would do this much to bring this guy to Jesus. I love that. Even if others were angry, and I'm sure there were a bunch of people angry. Really, right? Jesus instead looked down, right? And he saw the man's real need, Zeke. And it says that this man looked down and saw the man's real need, which was the forgiveness of sin, right? It says Jesus instead looked around, right? And he saw the critics, and there were people in the crowd just looking to... They just hated Jesus. And you know what? I hate to say it, but if you're trying to walk with the Lord sincerely, can I tell you what? There are people that hate you. It stinks. It's not fun. And Jesus, instead, he looked within And he saw their judgmental hearts, which we'll get there in a minute. And it's kind of sad. You have something you need to say?
Yeah. So kind of encompassing several of your slides here, I can imagine the four men that are carrying this paralytic. They were probably on fire, just excited. We're going to go take our buddy over there. Jesus is coming. And then they saw that crowd and that discouragement the flame coming down.
Oh, they could have quit, turned around, gave up.
They could have looked at it as a hopeless situation. We're not going to get to them. We're never going to get there. But then they kept going in that situation. Their faith was there. But that faith produced action. That faith produced them to put in that extra work to get to Jesus. It put them in, and you know, they were able to get to him, and in turn, the sins are forgiven and all of that. So that's the same thing for us. You know, yes, we have the faith. Do we trust him enough to spend the time in that word? Do we trust him enough to spend time in his presence?
Instead
of giving up, knowing that we can keep moving forward and get closer and closer to Jesus if we just endure and keep pushing forward.
Yes, good word, good word. And when it says son here, right, son, your sons are forgiven, that's such a beautiful word. It's technon in Greek. It's not like, son, let me tell you, your sins are forgiven. No, he's like, son, child. It's a beautiful thing. It is offspring, son or daughter in Greek. It's loving. It's not condemning at all. Right? He's not looking at all the rest. Everybody's probably angry and ticked off at everything. And he's looking at this guy out of love. And it says, forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. The word in Greek is aphemi, and it means to separate, to depart, to send away, to leave behind. Now, Christians hear this a lot, but back then, they had never heard of anyone forgiving sins. That would have been like worthy of death, right? And but Psalm 103 verse 12 says something very beautiful to us, right? He says that he, Jesus, right, has removed our sins. That word in Hebrew means to get rid of them, just as far as possible. In fact, as far as east is from the west. Jesus removed rakak in Hebrew. Rakak, sorry, is what it is in Hebrew. And it means so he's removed your sins. Sometimes we can be so discouraged, right, when we sin, which you should be, right, because we're knuckleheads. But he's removed all that. When you came to Christ, he took all your sins, removed them as far as the east is from the west. If we shot a rocket into space going east, do you know how far it would go? It just kept going out into space, east. I don't know if you can go east in space, but I'm just saying. It would go pretty much forever. Just keep going, right? Listen, that's how far he's removed your sins. So don't be discouraged and let the enemy drag you down again. He's removed those sins as far as the east is from the west. And Colossians 2, verses 13 to 14, New Living Translation, I think this shows us. It says this. It says, you were dead in your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, and he forgave a couple of your sins. Does it say it? Some of your sins. Most of them? He's forgiven all of your sins. For as many as received him, to them he's given the right to become children of God. And then it says, he canceled the record of the charges against us. Thank you, Lord. He took it away and he nailed it to the cross by his blood. Isn't that amazing? How long have I been teaching? I'm afraid to ask. Okay. Oh, boy. Mark 2, 6 to 7. Now, some of the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, they're Pharisees, the Sadducees, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? I like what Warren Wiersbe had to say about Jesus healing the man by forgiving sins. He said this, and this was really cool. Forgiveness, and I don't know if you know this, forgiveness is the greatest miracle that Jesus ever performs. It meets the greatest need. It costs the greatest price, but it brings the greatest blessing and the most lasting results. I am a life that's been changed because of my sins being forgiven. Are you? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Because if you have, your sins are forgiven. You're a new creation. And here's a question, right? Are the Pharisees right in what they're saying when they say, who can forgive sins but God alone? Yes. I hate to say it, those nasty Pharisees, but they are.
And it's because the offense is to God.
And who right, but Jesus, they call Jesus in Isaiah, I don't have a scripture picture, 7:14, and also Matthew chapter 1, I think verses 22 to 24, something like this. It calls Jesus Emmanuel. And what does that mean? If you're those, God with us, right? He is the exact representation. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Guess what? Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, at forgiving sins. I love this scripture picture as it continues on. And Mark, you can kind of see the Sadducee and the Pharisee back there looking. Ugh, I'm so disgusted by this, Jesus. Forgiving sin. Who does he think he is, right? And it says, immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take up your mat, and walk? Now, some Bible scholars say, even ones that I really like, that it's unclear if Jesus knew or they were aware of their thoughts. Like, was it human nature? Like, did he observe them going, make a face or something like that? Or was it revealed by divine intervention? Like, did the Holy Spirit? And I think it's absolutely clear, very clear, that it was revealed by the Holy Spirit. Because he says what they were thinking in their hearts. Listen, I can see your expression, but I don't see your heart, right? I've got the gift of discernment, but that's only when the Lord activates it. You know, I can look at you and think, oh, she's not paying attention right now. He's not paying attention. And you know what? Sometimes I'm right. Sometimes I'm 100% wrong. It was supernaturally revealed. In fact, Luke, in the parallel passage, thank you. Luke 5:22 goes so far to say, when Jesus said, why are you thinking evil in your hearts? Like he knew. Something no man can know. So immediately Jesus knew. Also, this particular word knew in verse 8 is two words. Actually, it's epigenosko. Epi is an emphasis word, like epic. So it's like, it means to really know, intimately, wholly, thoroughly. He knew in their hearts what they were thinking. And I wrote it wrong, but anyway, but when it says it's easier, it was harder to heal than to forgive sins because forgiveness would have been invisible, right? You could verify visibly, you couldn't verify visibly that this man's sins were forgiven, right? If I just said, oh, your sins are forgiven, nobody knows. But if I told this paralyzed person to get up and walk, you would know, wouldn't you? It would be absolutely clear, right? And so Jesus is willing to put himself to the test. George, there's a little bit of hiss in the speakers. I'm not sure if you're hearing that, but it says in Mark chapter 2, verses 10 to 12, it says, but I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority, not just power, but authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. I want you to think about this. How many of you have had a very difficult surgery or have been injured severely? Raise your hand. Okay. If you've had a difficult surgery or injured severely, did you immediately get up afterwards? No! In fact, it took a while to heal. Your muscles had to heal, the ligaments, the tendons, the whatever it was, right? I remember when I was in the hospital for a month, it took me a while to get back up, to strengthen my muscles, my ligaments, the circulatory system again. Listen, this guy was paralyzed, and I don't And I don't know if it was his own fault. Maybe he got drunk and fell. Maybe he got in a bar fight, his head, who knows? Or maybe he was born that way. It doesn't say. We don't know. But whatever, this guy was immediately healed. Think about that. All his muscles. He's been paralyzed. If you've been down like that for a long time, you have to get up slowly. You know what I mean? You have to get those muscles back working again. This guy jumped up immediately. Muscles, sinews, ligaments, blood flow, everything completely healed. He's popping up, hello, ready to go. And I'm sure he's thinking, why do I got to take the mat? Ugh. But he's like, you know what? You heal me, I'll dance the rumba. Whatever you want, I'm taking my mat and going home. Now, remember, nobody would let him through to get in. Now, let me tell you what happened. After Jesus healed him, this is just how I picture it. It doesn't say this. This is just how I picture it. I just picture the people in the house, like the parting of the Red Sea. And this guy just walking out, yes, sir, whatever you say, Lord. And it says that they were amazed. Everyone was. And they praised God, saying, we've not even seen anything like this. And I'll leave you with this scripture. Because they were amazed and they praised God. And, and this is one thing. Sometimes when you're a pastor, or sometimes maybe some of you, sometimes you get some horrible things said about you. It's not very fun. In fact, a lot of times. But sometimes you also get some pretty amazing things said about you too. But you know, I want to just say, if you see anything amazing in me personally, for example, do you know who you can attribute that to? No, not my wife. No, you can attribute that to the Lord. He's done a good work in me. Now, I'm still a work in progress, right? You can ask my sons, right? I'm still a work in progress, and I might not be all that I want to be quite yet, okay? Just to be honest. But one thing I can tell you, I ain't what I was. And I'm so thankful for that. So listen, I want you to shine. I want you to be lit on fire. Take the word. Grab a book of the New Testament, just start reading. Every time you read, just chapter a day, just start reading chapter one of Philippians or Mark or whatever you want to do, and pray every time. Say, Lord, will you speak to me? Even if you don't feel it at first, just keep praying. Lord, will you speak to my heart? Will you show me something? Because as that word gets in you, that fire is going to grow. And then people are... You're to let that light shine, right? In the same way, you're to let that light shine before others so they can see your good deeds and not say, oh, Pastor D, what an amazing guy you are. But no, they would look at your good deeds and say, wow, look at what God has done in his life. Look what God's done in your life. Does that make sense, everyone? So that your Father in heaven can be praised. Because anything good that we have, really, that's lovely and lasting and godly, it's from him anyway, isn't it? Isn't it true? So let's just thank him right now. Lord, we want to say thank you for your good and perfect gifts. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, and we're thankful for it. Lord, I pray someone here, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would stir up the embers in their hearts, Lord God. Maybe they're smoldering, Lord. Maybe the fire is going out. I pray in Jesus' name that you would help them to put another log on that fire, Lord God, that they would just put some more of your word in their hearts, Lord, that you would stoke the fire, that you would fan the flames, Lord God. I pray, Lord, if you're a good friend here, I pray in Jesus' name that you would help each one of us to reach out to someone else and encourage them to do the same, to fan the flame in their friends, Lord God, so that they would burn for you in such a way that people would see us and that they would be pointed to you, Lord God. Lord, I pray a blessing on your congregation, the people here and the people at home, Lord God, that we would live in such a way that we would be on fire for you, that people could look at us and say, Lord, I see your good deeds and I praise your Father in heaven. And so, Lord, bless these people with that kind of heart. Bless them with the word of God, Lord God. Hide it in their hearts so they wouldn't sin against you, Lord God, and light them on fire for you and no longer to be that smoldering wick. In Jesus Christ's name, all God's people said, amen, amen, amen and amen. God bless you. Have a great week in Jesus Christ's name.